Welcome to Unpacking the Digital Shelf, where we explore brand manufacturing in the digital age.
Hey, Peter Crosby here from the Digital Shelf Institute. Every brand leader dreams of that truly authentic viral social media moment that will juice sales and transform the brand for a new audience. Turns out, if it happens, managing that fleeting moment is a tricky exercise for which there are no rule books. Trace Rutland, Digital Hub Director at Ocean Spray Cranberries, was the leader in the hot seat when Nathan Apodaca, Dogface on LinkedIn with two G's, showed up on TikTok with a longboard, some dreams, and a 64-ounce bottle of Ocean Spray Cran Raspberry. The rest of the story is now marketing legend, and we've got Trace here to talk about it. So Trace, first of all, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this amazing story. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thanks for asking me. I'm excited.
So I'd love to just start by having you describe to our listeners how you first heard the name Nathan Apodaca and what he did that got your attention.
Well, actually, the first thing we heard was this guy Dogface, which for a while we actually just called him that because I think nobody really knew that much about him. But one of the people on my team got a text from a friend that she played soccer with to say, hey, have you seen this guy on the skateboard? It's really cool. You should check it out. So she went and looked, and she thought it was cool and interesting and, you know, a little bit funny and had just this very, like, good vibe feel to it. And shared it with the rest of us. And we were all like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, it's nice video. And
just to describe it for our listeners, this was a guy who had posted a video of himself heading to work, I think. And mm-hmm. and he was listening to Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. This was on TikTok, of course. And mm-hmm. And he was drinking a 64-ounce bottle of cran raspberry juice. While listening to Dreams by Fleetwood Mac, right? And someone said you should take a look at it because it was starting to take off a little bit, right?
It was. And the person that sent it just really liked it. It was kind of funny because actually the when we reposted it, because we usually repost with permission anything that we think is, you know, interesting or fun. And the caption was, see, 64 ounces a single serve after all, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because he's drinking it like it is a smaller bottle, but it's this giant bottle of cran raspberry. So, yeah, I mean, we were. I wouldn't say unimpressed, but we were definitely not intrigued by it. We were more like, well, this is some nice user generated content. We'd love to repost it. And we saw it start to pick up a little bit and we're like, it was just the right thing. Cause I think it was, you know, it broke when we were really starting to realize, I think, that the quarantine, the COVID was going to last for a while. I think at that point, everybody sort of had given up on getting back out in the world. And I think seeing Nathan on that skateboard, just chilling, you know, very relaxed and just having a good day in the sun just resonated with people. But,
yeah.
And we liked it, but like, again, I said, we weren't like, wow, this guy's going to be a phenomenon. And again, we reached out to him and that's how we found out his name. So that's the first time we found out his name. And, you know, my thing was, look, this is like an older guy. This isn't like a teenager doing something wacky on a skateboard. He's just, you know, he's not doing anything particularly, fancy. He's not particularly good looking. He's not, he's just every guy, right? So I didn't really think too much about it. And we saw it gaining a little more momentum. And that was like, I think Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And we're like, oh, well, you know what? We'll reach out to him on Monday if this continues to progress, but we think it'll die. And we think it'll die out by Saturday. And the opposite happened. I mean, news organizations picked it up and it just went very viral. You know, just the virality of it just exploded. I don't know if virality is a word.
I think it, well, it, if it isn't in the dictionary, it's certainly used a lot for sure. One of the things I loved, I thought part of what the story really took off, if I remember correctly, was that his car had broken down and he had to get to work. And so he just got on his skateboard, grabbed a bottle of Ocean Spray, put on Fleetwood Mac, and just got there. And he had this just joyful look on his face. And we'll put the link in the show notes for anyone that didn't happen to catch it. But
it's the look of someone drinking 64 ounces of cranberry juice.
Ocean Spray, cranberry raspberry juice. Like he was so like chill for a guy that was under this pressure of like, I'm going to be late to work. My car is broken down. He just decided to make a moment out of it for himself. I thought that was part of what really stood out, right? Do you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. And by the way, it's a longboard, so it's important for these. And I slip up and say skateboard too, but he was longboarding, and there is a difference. I mean, it was, and that's kind of what we found out when we reached out to him. So he had been asking for donations. Like once, you know, when he saw it start to pick up, he asked for donations to fix his car because all he wanted to do was fix his car. And we were like, well, do we give him money? Because that didn't feel really authentic or it just felt a little uncomfortable, right? Awkward. Yeah. So as we saw it explode by like, I guess Saturday afternoon, we started talking about it. And by Sunday, we had decided, hey, we don't want to give him money because that just looks too corporate and it's just not us. How do we help him? How do we, go ahead.
So before, I just want to say, I kind of would like to spool this out a little bit in a little bit longer fashion before we get there. So let me just recap for a second for our listeners, like sort of where this went over time. And then Molly might have a question for you sort of about in that moment when it started to rise, we'll dig into what happened. But over time, like I just checked, it's had almost 13 million views since that time. Mick Fleetwood and Stevie Nicks made versions of it. Jimmy Fallon made a version. The governor of Montana made a version of it. Mm-hmm. And it turned out Fleetwood Mac, that song received a 374% jump in sales and 89% jump in streams. And it hit the Billboard charts for the first time in a very long time.
Yes.
And the average daily uses of Dreams and TikTok videos went up 1380% in the month following. Like, that's the power of the TikTok platform, right? And it's the power of user-generated content. So now that we sort of, that's sort of the end story, which is kind of, this just took off and it's not something you ever could have planned. Molly, I think hop in with your question.
So Trace, when we first discussed this, we were talking about the moment when, you know, the interwebs basically slow pitched you a viral phenomenon. And, you know, you had said something to me like, well, I would like to tell you that we had everything in order and we knew exactly how to respond, but this is what happened. Can you sort of take us back to that moment?
Yeah. Well, I really would like to tell you that because it would definitely sound a lot worse, smoother and sophisticated. But no, the truth was, we didn't have a particular strategy in place. We didn't have really a thought. Like we were kind of all like wondering, like, how do we deal with this? Because as we saw it increase, we wanted to respond, and we, other than, you know, just a repost, we wanted to be able to do something about it, but we didn't know what to do. I mean, we knew if we just latched onto it and took it over, it would look like this big corporation taking advantage of this, you know, really nice guy who's just trying to get to work.
Yeah. I remember you saying like, take a breath before you do anything. Right. And and so it kind of felt like you don't want to screw it up. Right. Like, cause you want to treat it with respect, I guess. Right. Is that right?
Well, it's true. We didn't want to, and we were afraid of it because, you know, how when anything goes big, everybody in your company has an opinion about how it should be handled and wants to be part of it. And we didn't want that to happen. I mean, I think that was the thing about taking a breath and just a little bit putting the brakes on to our, we did a little bit of reposting, but other than that, we just wanted to make sure that what we did just felt right to the company and didn't seem like we wanted to take advantage of this person, because that's not who we are as a company. And so there wasn't, you know, I and a couple of people on my team were pretty adamant internally of, you know, what we weren't going to do. And I think my advice to anybody would be is, you know, go ahead and run down the list of the things you shouldn't do while you're in that pause phase, as opposed to thinking of all the things you should do.
Yeah, and because it must be hard to pause when it's social media, because the moment could pass any second, really, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, and you're afraid of that. You're like, wow. I mean, when you talk about screwing it up, you don't want to look inauthentic, but you also don't want to do any, you don't want to sit on your hands and wait too long to see. I mean, it's like a sweet spot of when do you interject and how do you interject? But it's also, you know, how do you not let it go too long? You don't want to take too long of a breath, because if you do that, you miss the moment. And if you miss the moment and then try to jump on it, that really looks inauthentic. So once
you took your deep breath, what did you decide to do?
Well, that's when we decided that we wanted to show up with a truck for Nathan with some cran raspberry in it, because we felt like that was what we would do if we just knew someone had a need. You know, like if somebody in our company had to longboard. I mean, it was miles. It wasn't like he was like around the corner. It was he had quite the little trip on his longboard to take. So, you know, what would be helpful to him? And at the same time, you know, share what Ocean Spray really is, you know, not just as a drink, but as a company. So, and not to get super too touchy feely. I mean, that would be disingenuous. I mean, we wanted to make sure that we were able to take advantage of the moment and be part of the moment. Right. And I think that's the whole thing. Be part of the moment. Don't be the moment. Because Nathan's the moment. Go ahead.
Well, Trace, I mean, just what I'm hearing is you wanted to make it really mutual. So there was absolutely a place for Ocean Spray that had naturally occurred in Nate's life. And so you and him were getting the benefit of it, but you were getting the benefit of it. And it was really, he was causing it. Yeah. So it sounds like what you were trying to do is continue on the spirit of that mutuality and whatever you chose to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And since Nathan, as things have come along, there've certainly been people who've wanted to, you know, be the moment instead of just being part of the moment. And, you know, we've had to say to, you know, to people who have advice, as all people always do, hey, you know, we've got to let this, we can only be part of it, right? We can't take it over. And we don't want to take it over. That it's just not the right thing to do internally or externally or for the company or for the person who's had this great idea or this great concept. And, you know, the thing with Nathan, I think the reason he's so appealing to people and the reason he's gotten so many views and there's been this love for him that frankly we didn't expect either. That also surprised us, is because he's not he's not in it just for, you know, money or fame. He was just doing this thing that resonated with people. And matter of fact, somebody asked him what happens if it all goes away. And he goes, well, then I just go back to, you know, being a potato processor. He goes, it's, you know, I'm not going to pretend like it's something not. He didn't wake up the next day and decide he was a celebrity.
Yeah. And
Trace.
I mean, go ahead, Molly. Sorry.
Oh, thanks. This is so fascinating. We're both,
I know,
wanting to jump in, but can you talk to us a little bit about what taking over the moment would look like as a distinction, and maybe, you know, share a couple bad ideas that you didn't do?
Was there a blip involved?
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, taking over the moment would have certainly meant, you know, turning it into a TV commercial, which was suggested. That would have been awful. Or, you know, taking the video and superimposing product, or, you know, having a bottle of Ocean Spray skateboard with him, you know, like do a stitch or duet on TikToks. There were really a lot of bad ideas about how far we should go with it. And should we, you know, offer him a contract immediately. And if not use that for the commercial, put him in our ads. All of those things would have taken over his moment. And the best thing about it.
I just flash back to Jared from Subway.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? And there's always that fear with viral. And that's another reason we were all kind of holding on and taking that breath, because we're like, we don't know this guy. We don't know who he is. We don't know what he's been involved with. You know, he could not be this nice guy on a longboard after all. So we've got to be careful about how we associate our brand with it. So it's, I mean, it was a happy accident, and thank God we didn't screw it up, but it would have been super easy. Cause if we had latched onto him, and started pushing him out and then found out that he wasn't the nice guy that he is, it would have been really bad. Right. I mean, that Jared moment for Subway took a really long time, but, certainly ingrained and burned in all of our memories. So that was the thing. And you know, you don't want to be exploitive, because, well, A, it doesn't work, and B, it's a bad thing. But then how do you incorporate yourself into it? You know, to your point, like, how do you be part of it versus the center thing? And let's face it, that video is not the same without the Cran Raspberry. Because, you know, we also talked about, well, do we need an exclusive deal with him? Because what if he does it with, you know, Welch's grape juice? And we all agreed that it wouldn't be the same moment, right? And his audience, the people who love him for who he is, they would see, oh, this is just, you know, this is tacky.
Yeah, this is product placement versus right. authentic.
And with another song, like to the point about the Dream song, also not a song we would have picked. If we were going to do something, we wouldn't have hired Nathan. We wouldn't have used Dreams. I mean, we wouldn't have used a 64 ounce. I mean, nothing about that would be, right. We wouldn't have, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's all like, it was all the genius of Nathan. And yeah. And I think that's why it became what it did.
So time passes, right? And because your initial thing was, we're not making a TV commercial with this guy. We're going to let this moment pass, et cetera. But time passed and you changed your mind. Right. You ran a Super Bowl campaign with him. So tell me about that shift and what allowed it to have the space for you to feel like you're doing that. And had you ever signed an influencer before, like all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. No, we use influencers. Actually, Wells from The Bachelor, the bartender, we did. He did a cocktail hour for us early COVID, like probably June. Now, actually, The Super Bowl idea didn't even come from us. We had several Nathan fans, because his fans are very loyal and they love him so much, said, oh, you should put Nathan in the Super Bowl. And multiple times, like it wasn't just one or two people. It was enough of, I guess, a contingency that we thought, well, this has legs, right? This could gain some traction. So we approached him about it and he was like, yeah, I'd love to do that. And by the way, in the process, actually the Super Bowl had considered inviting him. So we were also like, we had spent all this time. We started putting it together last minute, right? I mean, it was like, I think a week before.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Holy moly. It
was super last week. Wow. Last minute. So, and we were all like scrambling, trying to get everything together and get, you know, crew at his house, because he did it at his house. And then we found out he was on the like list to be invited, but at the bottom, right? And we were like, oh, if he gets invited, we've already invested all this time and money into this. What are we going to do? Because then that's not going to look real, you know, to be showing these TikToks of him dancing and him sitting at the Super Bowl, which he didn't get invited, which I'm sure he was disappointed, but it worked out for us. So, so we sent a crew and he actually did it. Yeah. All that stuff that he did was, just literally the day before. I mean, it was very tight timelines. Thank goodness we were nimble enough to be able to handle that. But yeah, it was very last minute because we had, like I said, it wasn't our idea. It came from his fans and we had to sell it in, you know, the whole thing where you have to, you know, get the money for it and get everybody convinced it's a good idea. So and the dance, we asked him to create a dance. We're like, oh, well, and actually what we pitched him was, would you like to create a Super Bowl dance? And he was like, oh, that'd be great. Cause you know, I don't know if you ever watched his other videos, but he's a dancer.
Yeah.
He likes, yeah. And so, so we went, we asked him to pour the cranberry cocktail on his head, and he did that. So we got some great, gifs out of it. And, yeah, I mean, it was a great thing. I mean, it was great compensation for him. And, we got a lot of nice footage out of it. So it was and again, it was very mutual, right. Situation. So that's how we got to the Super Bowl piece of it. It was great because it got picked up. We did pitch the idea to the networks, and right away when we got the yes to do it. So he was actually on Extra and another, I think, Good Morning America, talking about the Super Bowl dance. So
Trace, if you need people to pour cranberry juice on their heads, and be highly compensated, Peter and I are available.
That's a Tuesday for
the
me.
Record.
Yeah. and he was. but yeah, we have to do it multiple times, Molly. So I'm not sure if you want to spend like 2 hours doing it.
I feel like Peter and I could handle that.
Yeah, I am a big cran raspberry fan, so it would have to be specific, but I could go for it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and he had a lot of fun with it. He gave us some extra footage because, like I said, he's a good guy. He's just enjoying his moment.
Yeah.
And you know, the last thing we'd ever want to do is take his moment from him. So, and I think we've done a great job of not doing that.
So how did you know, this is lightning in a bottle or whatever metaphor you want to, analogy, metaphor. Yeah. Metaphor that you want to use. How did that alter your view of the Ocean Spray brand and how you connect with your consumers? Cause you had said earlier, he wouldn't have been the guy, that wouldn't have been the size, that wouldn't have been the, you know, yeah. Tell me a bit about that.
It did. And actually I was I wasn't even a year into Ocean Spray when all this happened. So, it was something that I was so happy about. I mean, I couldn't believe it, to be honest. Some days I still can't believe it. And cause I don't, it's funny. We were trying to think how do we make Ocean Spray juice, more relevant to a younger audience, because it sort of had that reputation of being like your grandma's juice, you know, it's in her refrigerator when you go to visit.
Are you going to say you manifested him, Trace?
I did not. No, I would have probably manifested, you know, someone really hot. So
some celebrity you've always wanted to meet. That would have been your manifest.
You're right. but I'm glad it was him. Cause like I said, it's perfect the way it is, but yeah. But we were like, you know, how do we do that and not look stupid? Because you see brands who try to everybody wakes up one day and says, oh, we've got to appeal to a younger audience. Let's, you know, do a TikTok or let's do a Snapchat. And then it just really looks, it's awful. And everybody's like, kind of does that groan when they see it. We didn't want to do that. So we were talking about how do we get there? And then this guy shows up and like ages us down immediately. I mean, in a way that we could have never guessed. So, I mean, as a matter of fact, I'll even say I went out and bought his t-shirts because, you know, he sells the t-shirts, sweatshirts, and I'll give him a plug. You can find his merch online. But I was like, this guy did us a solid, you know, in a way that no matter what, I don't think we could ever compensate him for,
right.
Thank goodness he's not trying, but, cause he's a good guy. But I mean, really, if you think about that MasterCard priceless thing, this was priceless.
Yeah.
And I think it was priceless because it was so real and because he wasn't the guy. You know, I mean, there's just no way someone would have come up. And there's no way that the struggle with social is you can't predict. A matter of fact, oh, this is a great story. I'm on a call with our, at the time, director of PR. She's now left, and our VP of marketing. And she goes, well, why didn't we catch this earlier? And isn't there an algorithm that can predict it? And I'm like, no. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You don't know. Sometimes people gain followers and views and then it just stalls out, which is exactly what we thought was going to happen to Nathan.
We've been looking at your word clouds and we see an analogous formation around a longboard, 64 ounce and a car breakdown. Trace, you should have predicted that.
Yeah, right. And I'm just like, the whole time, I'm just like, yeah, well, whatever. I mean, you know, we do the best we can. We watch what, you know, we obviously watch what pops up, and the, we look at user generated content and all of that. But yeah, I mean, no one knows. And it could have easily gone the other way. And then that would have been a big investment for the company, and we might have had egg on our face. So, you know, there was a risk there, and I'll give a lot of, you know, props to the people who are willing to ride the risk, because there's...
Yeah. And I wanted to say, that's, to me, this whole thing says a lot about Ocean Spray and the team that you have. And for you, a year in, to be able to express your, sounds like, very clear opinions upon what's right and what's wrong for the brand, when there was all of that pressure coming in. Mm-hmm. And not that people had bad intentions or anything. They just want to make the most of the moment. But
absolutely,
I love that. That your instincts, and I'm sure your bosses, kind of won the day, and you kept it authentic, and that's hard. you can't fake authenticity.
Oh, I know.
No,
you can't. And you know, I mean, I'm the person who gets in trouble for, you know, speaking up. I don't think anybody goes very long without my opinion on pretty anything. So, which is a good thing.
That's why we get along.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, you have to do it, because, I mean, you have to be, because, I mean, our jobs, I always say at the end of the day, and I learned this a while back, is to protect the business, right? And to protect the business, you don't just protect the business from people outside the company, you protect the business from people inside the company sometimes, because, again, yes, Molly understands it. You have to do that.
I was like, preach.
You really do. It's just part of your job. And so that was really important. And, you know, you might be wrong. And I could have been dead wrong. It could have been a weird situation where the right thing would have been to, like, you know, to do a TV commercial, and I could have cost the company millions of dollars and probably been out of a job. But, you know, it just was the right thing, and it certainly turned out really well. I mean, again, he has so many followers. We still find that when we repost his content, that's when we get the most likes and we get the most engagement, even now. But actually, like, even with the Super Bowl, when we first started seeing the comments about it, we were like, oh, he'll be dead by then. Not literally the viral, he'll be fine. But, like, you know, his moment, his 15 minutes of fame will be over. I mean, the fact that they lasted to Thanksgiving really shocked us. But the fact that even in December, that's when we really started hearing that we should put him in a Super Bowl ad, lasted that long, really surpassed anything that we imagined could happen. I mean, I don't know if you know, but he was invited actually to, matter of fact, that was actually an internal thing about, oh, you know, it's not going to continue. And he got invited to be in the inaugural parade by President Biden. So he was part of that. And I was like, man, he's still got legs here. Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I heard something about the next space mission that he's been invited. Okay. I'm just kidding.
I would not be surprised. I really wouldn't.
Well, this wouldn't be a business-oriented conversation without a small talk about measurement. When you spoke about this experience with the Digital Shelf Institute Exec Forum, you talked about your experience measuring the ROI on these types of activities. Mm-hmm. How did you think about that, and how do you think about it now?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it and think about it a lot still, because, you know, we have a obviously an insights department that does MMM to try to tease it out. The challenge we had was that because cranberries are good for you in an immune health way, and it's a shelf stable juice, our sales were good before Nathan. So it's actually really hard to tell the impact that he had, because the sales have been so good, thank goodness, during this time. So, you know, we certainly, the media impressions, we track the PR impressions, which we got like 2 billion of those. I don't remember the exact number, but it was billions of PR impressions. TikTok, and I haven't mentioned this, but definitely need to give them a serious shout out. They were so excited and so impressed with what was going on that they turned Nathan's skateboard ride and Mick Fleetwood's skateboard ride, and our CEO did one, which it, when that was pitched for him to do it, I was like, that's cheesy, except he's a very charismatic person and he also knows how to ride a longboard. So it worked out. Tom Hayes, if you Google it, you'll be able to find it. But anyway, so they're like, we want to take all these users who've, because that was the other thing, right, with it. So users replicated the moment. You had everybody doing it. Some people, one girl did it with sauce, with the cranberry sauce you have for Thanksgiving.
Wow. That's a commitment.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right. Some people, we actually had people who couldn't find crayon raspberry because, no, it did, that did fly off the shelves. That we could track because people looked specifically not just for Nation Spray bottle, but for crayon raspberry. And we, all that user generated content was being was on TikTok, and so TikTok said to us, hey, we'd like to put all this together in a commercial, would you partner with us on it? And I was like, sure. And I thought it was going to cost a lot of money and I'd never get the money approved, and really they just asked us for to pay for the licensing for the song, and we got this, and it, and they ran it in the baseball playoffs, in basketball, all the live sports. That was such a big deal at that point, you know, where we had very little live content and very little sports. They ran it in several award shows. So we got, you know, millions of TV impressions for free or for the cost of the licensing. And that, that's never in my media buying career ever happened that you got. And if you look at the commercial, it is nothing but ocean people drinking Ocean Spray until the very end where they say it starts with TikTok. I mean, it looks like a commercial we made. It's the point of a commercial we made. So that was just, that was like, I mean, like I almost cried. I mean, when I saw where they were putting that commercial, you know, coming from just that media background where they were putting it and how much of the fact that all of it was Ocean Spray, I was like, this never, ever happens in anybody's career. So, and speaking of ignoring, like good things are actually the day that it really started to take off. There was an email from TikTok, right? As a, you know, in my inbox, and I saw it, and I get a lot of people pitching me all the time. And so I'm like, I didn't even open it. Like I did not open the email for TikTok. I was like busy doing something else. And then, a friend of mine who works at Adobe, used to be T-Mogul that I know, said, hey, so-and-so who used to work with us is trying to get in touch with you. She's at TikTok now. And I was like, oh,
small,
all right.
Freaking world. Wow.
I know, right? And she's, I'm like, all right, fine. I'll look at the email. And it's like, hey, we see this taking off. We want to work with you. And I'm like, well, I'm an idiot for not looking at that sooner.
Trace, can you buy my next lottery ticket, please?
I know, seriously. Yeah, right? Oh my gosh. You know, I mean, kudos to TikTok to really leaning into things like this. Like that, I think they're being, you know, especially given the headwinds that they experienced with the last administration, I think they're being incredibly creative and committed to their brand ethos, their audience in a really cool way, while trying to, you know, monetize the platform increasingly, of course.
Right. I mean, I'll just be honest, if that, any other platform, you know, I'm actually thinking of one specifically, would have said,
I can imagine you are.
Would have said, hey, we'll do this, you know, we'll amplify this for you if you give us like, you know, a $2 million media buy. I mean, that's really the way that happens in the real world, the everyday media world. Nobody just offers you a partnership for a small cost of entry just to help amplify both of our brands, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it earned a huge amount of respect for me. And actually now everybody in the company, that's the first thing they ask is like, you know, are we doing something with TikTok? And not just to like pay them back. I mean, obviously we see the power of the vehicle. It's amazing. But at the same time, you know, people want to work with them. They're, you know, a preferred partner of ours now. And all because they approached in a way that was fair and authentic and not like, you know, let's just, you know, grind every penny out of this. So,
I hope that keeps up. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was great for them. I mean, I think I hope so too, but you know, it did, it did a lot for them. It did a lot for Fleetwood Mac. It did a lot for us. And, you know, to your point though, about impressions and measurement, I don't know how much, but how do you measure rebranding your product without lifting a finger? I mean, I don't even know what the dollar value of that would be.
I mean, I do know the dollar value of a rebrand exercise.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that is not small.
No, I mean, you know, but.
To quote Mother Superior from Sound of Music, how do you hold a moonbeam in your hand?
Good question. I wish I knew the answer. Delicate. I mean, I would say delicately, right? It's that same thing of, you know, making sure that things are mutual between us and Nathan or anybody else that we work with. And my other favorite funny thing was, like, to the point of, we didn't have a strategy, we didn't have a team, we didn't have a process, we didn't have anything. I mean, it was literally chains of emails. Somebody said, yeah, we need to codify this. We need a process, because what when it happens again? And I'm like, you do understand that that is never going to happen again. I mean, I hate to say never, but that moment and that the love for it. And, you know, frankly, I do think if it had happened a year before or a year after, I don't think it would have been what it was. I think it was the right thing at the right, at the right time.
Yeah. I mean, just seeing somebody, everyone has their version right now of their car breaking down, some way bigger and some smaller, but everyone's needing to remind themselves of finding that moment of Zen, or moments of Zen in the midst of all of this. And and he just spoke to that in a really beautiful way. And then you joined him in that. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really impressive and wonderful and a nice moment in some, you know, some challenging times. So Trace, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just saying, I mean, it was the kind of thing that, like, I personally have so much gratitude for, because it changed my job. It made my job better, because now I had, you know, the permission and the ability to use our media to talk to younger consumers and to just really rethink who we are to people and what people want from us. So you just can't ever become jaded about something like that. I mean, I'm certainly not. I mean, it's just, and like I said, he has fan love, so much loyalty, and, you know, he's helped us so much. It's like, it's just incredible.
Well, I mean, just watching him and looking at his feed, I just wish him all the best. Like, you just root for him. And like you said, you can't go into a creative brief. You know, it's and that's the beautiful thing about, you know, keeping your eyes and ears up for these moments that you said, like you said, might happen once in a career, but you want to be ready for them when they happen. And that's approaching your brand with knowing your brand enough that you can react in the moment and do the right things, which is very cool. So Trace, as a final piece of wisdom for our listeners. So your car breaks down and you're on your longboard, what Ocean Spray product would you be vibing to, and to what song?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, it would definitely be, I'm a big Cream Pineapple fan. I mean, I like the original, but I like it. Yeah, actually we have a Cran Watermelon who's now, that just came out, that's vying for my second favorite. But yeah, those two are mine. I'm actually not that big of a raspberry fan, so it wouldn't be Cran Raspberry. So it would be that. And, you know, with me, it's like, you can't ask me like, what's my favorite song? Cause it's the moment, but in that moment, I probably would have picked something a little more mellow. I'd probably been like some Jimmy Buffett, something, probably would have been my song. unless I was late, that might've been something a little faster, but yeah, I would say that, you know, it would be that,
I don't wish the car breaking down on you, but I do wish you moments of Zen as we continue into 2021. And Trace, just thank you for contributing to the DSI community, both in the executive forum and by coming on this podcast. We are super grateful and so happy that you shared this story.
Oh, no, thank you, because I get so much out of it. I mean, the forum itself, it's always something that I didn't even know that I needed to know. I mean, it's the information and the people and the that I get out of it. It's just because I think, you know, in our world, there's not a lot of people who do what we do, right? And especially if you think about the MarTech piece of it, but there's just not. And so being able to talk and share information and advice and perspectives, because we all have different perspectives. Just like if another company this had happened to, they would have handled it differently. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even going to say that it wouldn't have been the right way. I mean, what we did worked for us in our brand, and maybe it would have gone differently, but being a part of this forum, I think gives us all that chance to grow and learn. So I am also grateful for that opportunity, and you know, I love to talk, so this is great.
Well, thanks for giving back, and we really appreciate it.
We appreciate you, Trace.
Thanks.
Thanks again to Trace for sharing her journey through unexpected brand transformation. Please share this with your colleagues and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for being part of our community.